You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Hey friends, John Bush here today to talk to you about why government is full of fail, how governments create division, especially large central governments, and how competitive governance, decentralization, and the Freedom Cell Network can offer a viable alternative that will better serve individuals' needs and avoid discord and division. So most people that are active participants in society, or especially that engage in politics, will know that this country is very, very divided. And a lot of people are constantly upset with one another. And there is a lot of tension. When Trump is in office, many of those on the left wing, many Democrats are ticked off, pissed off. When Obama was in office, those on the right wingers were all ticked off and pissed off. And nothing seems to change. So I would like to take the position that if we rethink the manner in which we organize society, and we shift it away from a centralized, top-down, hierarchical, one-size-fits-all means of social organization to a decentralized, localized, distributed means of social organization, that we will better be able to live peacefully together without problems and discord. I also want to invite you to join the fourth international conference call for Freedom Cells. It's coming up tomorrow. If you're watching this is being recorded on Friday, 6/26, and coming up on the 27th at 5 p.m., we will be doing the fourth international conference call. I think there's like 80 to 100 people on the last one. It was a very productive call. A lot of people got to learn about Freedom Cells, and we did a little bit of work organizing our little Freedom Cell network. I also want to invite you to join freedomcells.org. We have our very own social network. If you're tired and fed up with Facebook or all these other networks that are censoring all sorts of stuff, I invite you to go to freedomcells.org, register, and there you'll find the Freedom Cells social network. Now, I want to show you how cool this is. We'll talk about Freedom Cells in a sec. Essentially, it's groups of eight people that work together for mutual aid, achieving common goals, and securing the sovereignty of the individual members. Those groups of eight then link up with other groups of eight to form larger networks. But this isn't just an idea or some sort of document or paper or thesis. Check out the people that are involved in the Freedom Cells network here. This is people all across the globe. We have some in South Africa, Brazil, Australia, Southeast Asia here. Look at here, near Indonesia. These guys are probably sipping on some Kratom down here. Really cool stuff. And, of course, we have the biggest concentration here in the United States of America. So one thing that you can do with this group is a lot of people are like, man, I feel all alone. There's just nobody that shares my ideas. And I can't possibly get started with Freedom Cells or with the Liberty Movement or whatever. Well, let's say that you live in Colorado. So you join the social network. You put an address. And you don't have to put your exact address, just put an address near where you live, and then check it out. You find, oh my God, I never knew there'd be so many people in my area that are thinking outside the box, that are looking to create alternatives. They're all over the damn city. So check it out. This is the real deal, folks. These are people all across the country that are active and organizing Freedom Cells. And then you see there's like just like your wall, You got all this cool stuff going on. People post, and then there's different groups that we call them cells, of course. I created a Texas Freedom Cell Network, trying to expand out the Texas Freedom Cell Network. We have 14 members here. We also have some stuff going on Facebook as well. You can also do events. So freedomcells.org, join the freedomcells.org. Oh, somebody scheduled a coffee chat. Well, that's exciting. Coffee chat. Talk about some freedom stuff. Okay, so that is what we're talking about. Now, I just want to point out and illustrate with my trusty pen here. Excuse the crude drawing, but this is the United States of America, roughly. The Northeast over here comes down to Florida. This actually isn't so bad. The great state of Texas is here. Let me come out. California in the West, all right? So we have this entire country. It's all divided into all these states, right? Blah, blah, blah. Florida's here, this, that, and the other. So imagine all these states here. In every 4 years, this entire country with the population, I think it's like 350 million now or so, the entire population elects one person from one political party that has one specific viewpoint, policies, and that person exists in this little itty-bitty space. We're going to color it red because Washington, D.C. carries out lots of acts of blood and treachery. And this one person, this itty-bitty space, their policies, well, you know, the president isn't supposed to enact policies, but we see each president from Bush, Obama, you know, they're just continuously Trump increasing the use of executive orders. But the same thing goes for everyone electing people, and then one party's in power in the House and one party's in power in the Senate, and they have dominion and their policies push all over. So if you're a conservative or Republican or right winger and there's a Democrat in office, then are you just SOL for four years? It doesn't work. There's a better way to do things that isn't this top-down idea, this top-down way of doing things. Yeah, I want to encourage you guys also to comment, and we're going to be reviewing some of your comments, ask any questions. Don't troll, but if you troll, we'll just ignore you, or we'll poke fun at you. And we'll make it more of a conversation, too, because this is something exciting. We're going to talk about how Freedom Cells, how you can build Freedom Cells, and how the Freedom Cell Network can help overcome all this division and chaos and stuff. Edward Hobbs says, is it possible to see the cells in my local area without signing up? Don't really want to be giving away my contact details, only to find there's nothing in my area. Well, you can let me know your area, and I'll see if there's something in your area. If there's not something in your area, then what better time to start? And if you are concerned with privacy, you can always set up a dummy email account and just use a fake name. No problems there. We don't have a problem with that. So to check it out. So I would like to say, instead of a one-size-fits-all policy, Instead of a one-size-fits-all, top-down, hierarchical approach, we enable a decentralized, distributed world where there's even different areas that have different philosophies. Like the South tends to have a different way of life. The Southwest tends to have a different way. Then there's the Northeastern states, you know, and there's this whole pocket of liberal Vermont, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut up there, right? That's an entirely different way of doing life than in Montana, for example, or in Texas, where there's more rugged individualism. And then in the big cities that tend to be left-leaning Democrat, more liberal policies, they do things differently than in the rural areas. And one of the things that spurred this conversation that I wanted to have with you today was a debate that I found myself getting in over the Electoral College. And a good friend of mine shared this thing. It was like, if we want to tear down racist monuments or racist relics, how about we start by tearing down the Electoral College? And he shared some articles talking about how the Electoral College was meant to empower racists or whatever. And I was like, well, if you get rid of the Electoral College, then it's going to be the major cities that decide everything for everyone else. And the rural areas will be disenfranchised. And then they're like, well, you're saying South Dakota should have more of a vote than California. Their voting power in the Electoral College is 30 times as much as the people in California. And then I realized, like, wait a second, I'm not even going to get involved in this debate. I don't want to take a position. My position is that the institution of the presidency, the Electoral College in and of itself, the federal government, one of the largest central governments to have ever existed, is the problem. And if we want people to have more power at the individual level, then we ought to abolish that system entirely, or better yet, just try to ignore it and build something else in its place. And I hope a lot of people would agree with me on that. There's no reason why one group's beliefs should be inflicted upon the other people's beliefs. And I also wanted to point out that the institution of government is working exactly as it should, as it was intended to operate. That is to preserve and grow the power and privilege of the ruling class. And that's always how government has operated, even in the American experience, which was supposed to be some grand experiment in democracy. And we had this beautiful founding document in the U.S. Constitution. Nothing could be further from the truth. I want to encourage people to actually look at what took place in history. The founding of this country took place with corporations that were empowered with privilege from the British Crown, the British East India Company, for example. They came over from Great Britain. They had governors already in place. The governor had the ultimate authority over an entire geographic area where they set up their colonies and states. They brought over slaves, they brought over indentured servants, and immediately upon arriving in the United the Americas, they enslaved the population, they killed the natives, they used their slaves, they instituted essentially like a fiefdom over a massive geographic area. That's how this country was founded. Then it was the ruling class that set up the Articles of Confederation. It was, you know, there were some genuine good rebels, right, that signed the Declaration of Independence and overthrew the British rule, but they didn't replace it with total freedom. And while the Articles of Confederation were more decentralized and localized, and they lacked a strong central government, which the anti-federalists specifically wanted to do for the purpose of keeping power with the people, although it wasn't power with the people, right? Women couldn't vote. People were still held as slaves. It was power with the ruling class, with the aristocrats, with the merchants, with the lawyers, with the bankers, right? Then the U.S. Constitution, which many conservatives hold up and prop up and enshrine as some all-powerful document that protects freedom and has all these freedoms associated with it, in reality, it created the strongest central government that the world had ever seen. And because it had relative economic power, even though it had Article 1, Section 8, the empowering the Congress to tax the people, it was that relative freedom compared to other governments of the past that allowed for the people and their ingenuity to create an economic powerhouse. However, that economic powerhouse wasn't alone able to enrich itself, better itself, innovate. There was a central government that was leeching off of the body politic and in turn would come to be one of the most powerful empires the world has ever seen because of that relative amount of freedom coupled with the central government. And now we have a mass empire that stretched manifest destiny all across to the West. Hawaii, Guam, Puerto Rico, and now we have an empire of bases, as Chalmers Johnson called it. So the central government in the United States of America has created a lot of harm. Not only has it created harm externally, but there's a lot of internal harm, a growing police state, a growing surveillance state, and growing division and tension amongst the people, which is exactly where the powers that be would like to see the anger, the hatred, the division, the frustration pointed. They would want to see people butting heads. Now we see it was always the left and the right, the Democrats and Republicans butting heads. But now we have the extremes on both ends, like the right wingers and the Tea Party folks, remember several years ago. And then you have the left wingers and the Antifa and all these protests going. And now it's these extremes that are butting heads as well. And if we do see some sort of civil war activity, it's going to be between these extreme left radicals and these extreme right militia types, when in reality, they don't have to join forces, but they could adopt what we're going to talk about today on our YouTube video, the idea of decentralized networks, social organizations, or even competitive governance. So before I get into the Freedom Cell idea, this isn't something that's new, right? There's an Institute for Competitive Governance. I came across a journal recently that was all about alternative means of governing, and there's been special economic zones. There's work trying to do one down in Honduras. Many people are more familiar with Hong Kong as they've been rebelling now. They're getting back to the rebelling as the COVID kind of dies down, but does it really die down? I don't know. But Hong Kong was a compromise between mainland, between motherland Communist Party China and Great Britain, who ceded some power. And they said, well, we're going to let you guys have authority over Hong Kong, but we want it to be relative limited authority. And we want Hong Kong to continue to enjoy this economic freedom. So they created a special economic zone. There's many thinkers, doers, entrepreneurs, millionaires even, that are encouraging for the creation of other special economic zones to experiment with other forms of government, to have a competition within government rather than just one size fits all top down hierarchical form of nation statehood that we've all grown accustomed to that's created so much harm and that's, in my opinion, limited human thriving and human flourishing. We want to try these economic experiments with economic zones. There's also the Seasteading movement. I've been publishing, producing podcasts with the Seasteading movement, get to listen to a little bit of the work of Carly Jackson and, of course, Joe Quirk. They do a lot of great work. And the idea is, in order to get out of the jurisdiction, because the United States of America and the other nation states have total dominion over every single geographic area in that country, right? We could do a movement to have a SEZ or somewhere within, but they're like, let's just go outside of the territorial jurisdiction of these nation states altogether and experiment with floating cities on massive ships, travel ships, or on floating decks or decks that are anchored in the ground outside of territorial waters. But as we see with the Thailand experiment where this couple actually built a seastead and then the Thailand government was like, you can't do that. You're violating our sovereignty and we're going to charge you with this crime that's punishable by death. That was pretty extreme. See, the governments are like, no, you can't even be out there in the ocean. And then Ernie Hancock comes along. He's like, let's not do off the grid. Let's go above the grid and have massive spaceships and stuff. That's a future that I'd like to see with more freedom and stuff. So this journal article I was reading, it presented friction for the furtherance of competitive and alternative means of governance. One of the solutions was the Seasteading option. One of them was the special economic zones, and you get permission from the government. And then another one was a non-territorial form of government that they wanted to talk about where you could essentially have an a la carte governing structure. So this is something I've talked about for quite some time, and I think it's a great middle ground, middle of the road approach to anarchism, to a genuinely free society. A long time ago, I kind of moved away from the whole strategy of smash the state, like a confrontation with the state, remove the state, right? So if I genuinely value freedom and people's freedom to choose, now mind you, a lot of the freedom of people that choose government and that prefer government, there's a lot of indoctrination going on there. But who am I to tell a democratic socialist or a progressive that actually enjoys the presence of the welfare state and wants the government to be empowered? Are we as anarchists and voluntarists, is it within our rights to take that away from them, right? So I would like to see an environment where people that want government, they can have their government as long as it's not forced upon us. And a middle ground transition could be an a la carte form of governance. This is what was talked about in the journal. So, for example, it's going to be really difficult to be an active participant in the general society and not use the roads, right? So maybe as a compromise, I'll still pay the gasoline tax. And if there's a toll road set up, we'll pay the tolls. Another example, I just played frisbee golf with my lovely girlfriend yesterday. The course was in shambles in East Austin on 51st Street. I used to play there as a kid with my pops. It was always a rough course, but it was really bad. But I would consider throwing some money in for some city parks. The state of Texas, even though they shut them down now and like only allowed 100 people in a massive state park, you know, maybe they can continue to do public parks or whatever. The point is, I would like to opt out of the Austin Police Department. I don't want to pay for health and human services. I definitely don't want to pay income tax to fund foreign wars of aggression. So what if a middle ground would be that it's like a la carte services, and then we introduce alternatives, private community means to do such things. So that's one way to get from here to there. I would argue, in order to strengthen that position, to eventually have people that can opt out of the state entirely, we need to grow our numbers. I've always said there's strength in numbers, there's strength in unity, and there's strength in truth. I believe we have a true position that we ought not inflict or instigate or initiate harm or violence against other people, right? That seems true to me, seems true to human autonomy and our free will. Okay, so we have a united group of people. Actually, they're not united. Even the libertarians and voluntarist movement aren't really united. So I would like to encourage people to unite behind a movement, behind an idea whose time has come. And then when we grow our numbers, we can effectively have the strength to potentially opt out of the system altogether. So how do we get from here to there? How can we start building the alternatives? How can we start providing alternative services to the government? And how can we do so in a way that in the beginning isn't even illegal at all? In fact, it's extremely low risk. And in fact, getting involved in Freedom Cell networks and Freedom Cell groups lowers the risk that you have generally going around in society, especially if you're a rebel or an activist. So let's talk about what Freedom Cells are. And I want to encourage people to go to the Freedom Cell website. Let's hit some of these comments as we're going. Joan Curry says, can someone provide me a link for Freedom Cells Movement website? If you check out the description, there should be a link right there. But if you're not, if you can't see the description for some reason, I'll just write it out for you with my trusty pen here. FreedomCells.org. This is our Freedom Cells social network, and I invite you to join us there. There's over 2,000 users on the site. We also have a Facebook group that you can join and a Telegram channel. So I know I do these videos on my personal page. And I also do them on Derek Broz's Conscious Resistance Network. And I know a lot of people in the Conscious Resistance Network are very concerned about privacy, rightfully so. So we do have an encrypted Telegram channel that you can also join to organize, to find people in your area. And there's links in the show notes for that. So, yeah. This guy, Wislet Klinkusum, says, John, if you have time, please review.
Hello.
Hanami Manifesto. Remember that? Hanami Manifesto and its accompanying documents at hanami.com. I really believe it should be up for serious discussion for the upcoming reset. We have a chance to set a better path for humanity. In short, Hanami is a worldwide paradigm shift in the social, financial, political system to harmonize living for all. We can do it now because we have the level of technology and human knowledge we have. Hey, I appreciate that. That sounds like it's right up my alley. We'll definitely check that out. And again, I want to invite everyone tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Saturday the 27th at 5 o'clock. I invite you to join us on the 4th International Freedom Cells call. Last time it was a great call. A lot of people participated. So what are Freedom Cells and how can we organize them in our area? You might be asking yourself. Well, I got an answer for you. Freedom Cells are... we'll just call them FCs. Freedom Cells are groups of, remember the tilde? That's a tilde of around 8 people. Okay? That's the inner cadre. This is what I call an inner cadre. Man, my handwriting is bad. And these groups engage in, I'm just going to write slower, in mutual aid. So the 8 people, they all get together and they all commit to help one another when they're in need. The groups also work to achieve common goals. Okay. These goals can be, we're all going to work together to have 3 months food storage. We're all going to work together to make sure everyone is linked up through encrypted communication. We're all going to work together if there's a pandemic to make sure everyone has the supplies they need, if there's a crazy lockdown, authoritarian thing. And then the groups also, this. So the Freedom Cell concept, this, it's basically utilizing small groups for mutual common goals, right, a mutual purpose. It can be utilized for all sorts of different things. But the Freedom Cell thing that we're encouraging people to join and the people that we associate with are all about individual liberty, autonomy, sovereignty. So another thing that they work together is to secure the sovereignty of group members. So this is an inner cadre. That's your group of 8. Okay, so Freedom Cell starts off at the very basic of a Freedom Cell is a small group of around 8 people. We use the number 8 because there's research by this gentleman named John David Garcia and another guy named Bob Podolsky that shows that a group of 8 human beings allows for most creativity and effectiveness. The further you deviate away from 8, 6'5", there's less ideas, there's less people to implement ideas. The further you deviate above 8, there's more division, there's more discord. So we're talking about going down from a unit of 350 million people in this United States of America to a group of 8, right? But it doesn't stop there. So that's just what I like to call the inner cadre. And the inner cadre is you're dedicated most to your inner cadre. This can be friends, family. So I personally have like a loose de facto inner cadre with me, my former roommate, my girlfriend, and my parents. They're not as radical as I am, although my dad's pretty damn cool. But we have a text message chat and we talk about food storage. We check in on one another. Of course, we visit and spend a lot of time together, but that's what I would call my little group. I'm also going to find another group of people that are more radical, people that are in the quote unquote movement, right? And what I'm currently trying to do is encourage the creation of the middle and meta cadres here in Texas. So our inner cadre group can be visualized like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. And you have one person here, 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 one person here. These people all work together, talk together, support one another, and help each other. If there's any graphic designers that really want to come up with a cool symbol for us to show this, I think that'd be awesome. Okay, so this is what I call the inner cadre. And this is step one for those of you that want to get involved. The Freedom Cell Movement. Go out and build an inner cadre. It doesn't have to be 8 people. It can be 4 people. It can be you and a buddy. Point is, link up. Join our freedomcells.org group. Reach out to me personally, and I'll help in your area. And in fact, that's one of the things that we're going to do on the international conference call. We're going to try to be really engaging and see if there's any resources or tools or support or advice that people need in order to learn how to grow these groups. Of course, people feel like they're all alone. We can teach you how to do meetup groups, how to set up a Facebook event, how to get involved in existing meetup groups of like-minded people. It doesn't have to be a radical, voluntarist meetup group in some small East Texas town. Maybe that doesn't exist. Maybe instead you go to the prepper meeting or the gardening meeting, right? And everyone doesn't all have to be 100% on the same page. You're just looking for people of like mind. Then if you're like me, you'll slowly but surely I don't want to use the word infect, but persuade them to come over to the dark side of total freedom where we all support each other and leave each other alone and don't want to initiate violence against one another. Okay, so this is the inner cadre. Now, the next step that the inner cadre does is each one of these 8 people, they work on common goals, right? They go and encourage the creation of 8 to 10 other groups. Okay? So we're just going to use the number 10 to make things easier. Actually, what's 8 times 8? 8 times 5 is 40. And then the extra 3 is 32. So that's 82. Is 8 times 8 82? No, that's not right. 8 times 10 is 80. 8 times 10 is 80 minus 16 is 64. Okay, so 64. All right, so these are all individuals. Now, the middle cadre is when you have 8 groups of 8. That's when you have what we call a middle cadre. Middle cadre. Man, my handwriting is bad. Let's make this thinner. Maybe that'll help. So now imagine for a second you had 8 individuals. Now these are 8 groups of 8, and they link up just the same. You can also have, so each one of these groups has 8 people in it, and each one of the, this is how we can start to actually create, and I don't want to use the word government, but a social organization that can make decisions and provide services with one another. Now having a group of 64 people, you can actually do some pretty cool stuff. That's a lot of people. You can fundraise for things. You can all go and support one another. You can defend one another. You can help people. So check it out. Each one of these groups can nominate one person to to be a sort of a delegate or ambassador. And then those people all form a council of eight. And again, there's no authority. There's no ruling over. It's just this small group of eight represents the group of 64. Now, we'll see that this is going to help and pay dues whenever. So that's the middle cadre. Now we have what I call a meta cadre. Meta cadre, which has 64 people in each group. Can someone do the math of 64 times 8? 64 times 8. So now you have 64 here. I like to do tens and the hundreds because it just makes it so much easier. What's going on there? Oh, whiteboard's crashing. Either way, you get the point. So now we have eight groups of eight. And, oh, nice. And each one has 64 people. I'm sorry, now we have eight groups of 64. Did anybody do the math for me there? 64 times 8. So 8 times 60 is 6, 12, 18, 24, 30, 36. So that's 360. And then 8 times that extra 4 is 32. So 392. Now we have 512. Now we have 512 people. So just as before, each one of these groups of 64 also sends a representative or delegate. Now you have a little council of eight people. And here's how this works whenever we're making decisions, right? So you now have 512 people. And here's how we can make decisions using consensus, not democracy, not 50% plus one, not enforcing one group enforcing their view or their policy upon everyone else. So you have your original group of eight. And so let's say the question is, well, one of the purposes of our freedom cells that we wanted to get as many people, freedom cell network, is that we wanted to get as many people involved and eventually acquire this town on the outskirts of town. There's this town for sale for $5 million. It's on 200 acres. It already has infrastructure, whatever. So now it's time to actually vote. Are we all going to put in the money to buy this town? Or maybe the group was already funding some account that uses cryptocurrency and it uses shared addresses. The private keys split up into the different cells and everyone unlocks a little piece. I forget what that's called. And so the group of eight has to have consensus to make a decision. Should we acquire this piece of land with our pooled monies? The group of eight says, yes, we should. There, one person goes to the council and says, we have all of our people bought in. Okay, let's do it. Does the next group of 64 have all their people bought in? So the representative of that group 64 says, well, actually, we only have seven of our eight groups. Okay, maybe you make up rules where you need to have a supermajority. I don't know. People can do whatever they want. But essentially, this is how we want to create this decentralized network. It all starts with a group of eight. Then you encourage the creation of other groups of eight. We're just going to say 10 now to make it easy. As a group of 10, then you get 10 groups of 10. Now you have a group of 100. Then you get 10 groups of 100. Now you have a group of 1,000. And I would say by the time you get to 10 groups of 1,000, let's say we can do this in the state of Texas, now you have 10,000 people all on the same page. You could potentially effectively authorize a Declaration of Independence where you still use that same decentralization for the wording and stuff, and you send delegates from each group of 64 or 100 that are good at writing and that want to participate, and then draft a Declaration of Independence, and then you all work together and you declare your independence from the United States of America and the state of Texas and your individual cities. So the point is, with these small groups, you can decentralize the means of social organization. So it's not a top-down hierarchical, one group of people forces their views, beliefs, and policies on another group. Rather, it decentralizes down to a small group of people where it's so much easier to have consensus. It's so much easier to be on the same page. And I believe where this Freedom Cell network is innovative is that you take that small group, mutual aid group, and then you encourage the creation of other small groups. And then you link those groups up and network those groups for support and mutual aid. So earlier I talked about how this infrastructure could help with services that the government provides. So for one, it could support with security. Ideally, these groups are in a given geographic area or in the same region. So let's say that you have 64 people in one particular part of town, in East Austin, for example, and those 64 interspersed between three neighborhoods that are really close to each other. Well, out of that number 64, 10 people have volunteered to provide security and defense for the other 64. Now, in this 10 people, some of them are former military, some of them are gun nuts, and they have a whole slew of firearms, and they train with the firearms regularly. One of them is the Kung Fu master at the Kung Fu school down the road. And so that group of 10 has volunteered to provide security for the group of 64. Maybe the group of 64 financially compensates them for being on watch or whatever. And so what happens is we have our little encrypted Telegram channel, or we use an app like getcell411.com, cell411. And it's like, oh, there's rioting going on in our neighborhood, or there's been a slew of break-ins in this neighborhood, so we want this person to come and help protect our property or whatever. Another way that it could help is everyone knows that the American healthcare system is just full of fraud and super expensive and total corporatocracy and not free market, not functioning well at all. Well, there could be what's called a Freedom Cell Health Share. So I personally participate in a health share. Costs a couple $100s every month, and it goes into a common pool for the participants in a health share. Now, it's just something for like a catastrophic emergency, because it only covers the cost of whatever happens. It only covers the cost of the healthcare over $1,000. So I don't really even have a primary physician. I have a naturopath. I rarely ever go to the doctor. But if I were to be in a car accident, knock on wood, something terrible happens, then it would be covered. So there's no reason why a Freedom Cell network can't also have some form of health share program where certain things are paid out, certain pre-existing conditions are covered, certain ones aren't. I don't know. The group all determines that. And then when little Johnny breaks his leg, little Johnny puts the call in to the health share committee or whatever. Each group of 64, each group of 512 forms a health care committee, a health share committee. Each group of 512 forms a security committee. It's really, what services do you want this infrastructure, do you want this social organization to take on, right? Maybe there's an innovation committee. Maybe there's an investment committee, and they invest in a basket of cryptocurrencies, and that investment is intended to enrich the group or to be distributed out as dividends or to be a fund so they can acquire properties. So eventually you want all these Freedom Cells to have a confederation of intentional communities. I don't know. Really, the sky's the limit. But this network has so many different possibilities, and I want to encourage everyone to give it a try, to check it out, to form Freedom Cell groups in your network, in your area. And again, I just want to point out that this isn't just a pie in the sky idea. We do have a whole lot of people that are already participating. So again, I want to go to the member map. So you can see there's a lot of people that are already involved, and you can be involved too. And chances are there's someone in your area or in your state, at least, that is rocking and rolling. I don't know what's going on. Oh, Kansas got some Kansas City people. Missouri has a lot of people. There's a decent amount of people up here in Minnesota here. Look at that pocket. Colorado's got a nice thing going. Dallas, Austin, Houston, of course, where Derek Brose, he really took this idea and ran with it. And he's responsible for a lot of these 2,000 people that joined on board. El Paso's got a good chunk. See what we got going on in Mexico as well. Mexico. Mexico's got a lot going on here. So we're, as an organizer, I'm going to be helping to organize these people, because there's over 2,000 participants here, but I'm not sure all of them are actually networked into the Freedom Cell structure, infrastructure, which again, isn't what's most important. What's most important is as having a network of people that you can rely on and that can help support one another. But I do think there's a lot of power in this infrastructure, in this means of organizing. So hopefully I can lend a hand to given areas to help them organize with the group of eight, the inner cadre, the meta cadre, the middle cadre, and the meta cadre. All right, let's answer some questions, see what's going on. If anybody has any questions, comments, really appreciate that. Jake Lee, Derek Rose did work for Antifa. There is proof of this now. Get a life. We're trying to build. We're not trying to bullshit. But if that's what you want to do and spend your time, then that is great. So, all right, let's see what the comments are. Conscious Resistance, do you know of the Polestrat Project? I do not know of the Polestrat Project. Please fill us in the comments if you can. Let us know. Here's somebody kindly saying, thanks, Mr. Bush. No problem. I like the makeup there. Is that a Guy Fox mask makeup? That's great. Are you on any alternative platforms like Library? No, we're not. Our videos are on BitChute and I believe on Library as well. Yeah, and Derek Bros has some stuff on the Conscious Resistance is on Library as well. But as far as the infrastructure for the network that we have on this Freedom Cells website, it's not that way. We do have this great guy named Neil Rademacher that does all of our web design and stuff like that. And we're trying to work on making it as encrypted as possible. There now is an encrypted chat function on the back end of freedomcells.org. That's great. I invite you to follow the link in the show notes where you can join our Telegram encrypted chat group as well. But we'll definitely explore and get involved with any crypto decentralized platform that makes this more private. This is Kratom, by the way. That's my business, Spray Botanicals. If anybody wants to try a free ounce of Kratom, then go to freeounceofkratom.com, freeounceofkratom.com, and I'll send you a free ounce. Just pay $5 shipping and handling. Me with stress, focus, energy. Nas Far is ready to join. All right. I hope you're on the website. Let's do it. Join up. See who's going on in your area. Why would I want to associate myself with an organization that supports Zionists? You people are a joke. Well, Jake, you sure must have a lot of time on your hand if you think that we're a joke and you're watching along. I don't know if this, you prefer this to Comedy Central. You prefer this to Kevin Hart. I don't know. So whatever. I got a joke. What do you call someone who disagrees with everything you say, who really doesn't like you, yet they spend a significant portion of their time obsessing over you? You call them a fucking loser. All right. There's my joke. I hope you like it, Jake. Carl Henderson says 8. Yes, that's the magic number 8. And again, it doesn't have to be 8. It can be 6. It can be 7. It can be whatever the hell you want it to. The point is, this isn't like a top-down, it has to be done this way. We don't really even, we're just innovating and making this up as we go. I came up with this idea in 2015 and started sharing it with people. I had the idea in my head for a while, and then I started seeing small groups pop up everywhere. I went to this conference in Minnesota, and this guy named Nick Ludwig had this small group manual and talked about small groups throughout history and how they've been beneficial. And then the Oath Keepers and Stuart Rhodes started doing a small group county-based thing rather than the whole nationwide network. They tried to emphasize at the county level. And then I met Bob Podolsky in his book Flourish. He talks about octologs and small groups networking into what he calls a holomat, very similar approach to what we're doing. And so I was like, man, this is an idea whose time has come. Back in 2015, just shared it on some podcasts, some speeches. Derek Rose caught wind of it, took it, ran with it, helped create this website with Neil Rademacher. Now there's a ton of people. So we're figuring out as we go. Everyone join us. I think 8's a good number. Choco Smoke is already on the Freedom Cell map. Join us. That's right, buddy. I'm curious if you're still following along, Choco, if you're on the map, but are you networked with people, like 8 people in your small area or anything like that? Please join us on the conference call and let us know, because this is what we're trying to do here. Who here is from Ontario, Canada? Let's see if – I don't even know what part of Canada Ontario is in. Anybody want to tell me if they're following along? There's Ottawa, Quebec. There's Ontario. Uh-oh, we got somebody. Somebody's close. That's it. But there are decent amount of people over here in Quebec, Nova Scotia. I remember doing a salt map in Nova Scotia when I was younger. So, yeah, join. With all due respect, are you really saying that you didn't know that freedom cell sounds like a contradiction in terms? I guess you're suggesting like because of a jail cell? No, I mean, I gave a lot of thought to the name, and I deliberately wanted it to be provocative because everyone talks about a terror cell, right? Ooh, terror cell. And we're like, freedom cell. We're organizing. We want to replace the government with this. So, no, there's no jail cell about it. And again, everything that we talk about, none of the stuff that I've talked about is illegal in the least bit. Think of cells in the body, not jail. Yeah, that's not what I was thinking when I came up with the name, but I do. It is a perfect fit how cells in the body are autonomous, but they're also synergistic and they work with the same DNA, the same code, right, for a common purpose. So that's a great, great thing. New York here, but when shit hits the fan, we'll be forced to migrate. Go ahead and, man, shit's hitting the fan right now, my friend. So you're welcome to come join us here in in Texas. New Hampshire is just right up the road from you, and there is a whole slew of freedom-type peeps that a lot of them doing work in the Free State Project. I should spend some time working with the Free Staters to try to push this idea more. I'm close with Ian Freeman, the guys that do Free Talk Live, but there's probably like 2,000 to 2,500 small-L libertarians and voluntarists in New Hampshire, and they only have a handful of peeps on the Freedom Cell map here. So we definitely have some work to do there. All right, guys. I appreciate all of your work. Here's somebody telling me 64. Thanks for the support on the math front. Go to freedomcells.org. Join us on the Freedom Cell conference call. And how long have these Freedom Cells been around and how many of them are there to date? Well, the Freedom Cell idea was in 2015, and Derek Brose really popularized it, I don't know, 2 to 3 years later, started giving talks, interviews. He has definitely a bigger platform than I do, and I appreciate that he invited me to be on his platform on the Conscious Resistance. So I don't know exactly how many cells there are. I do know that there's over 2,000 participants on the Freedom Cell social network, and one of the things that we're going to be doing is assisting those 2,000 people in forming the cell network on their own and doing that decentralized. We are supposed to be working together and have open minds. Please try, guys. Yep, give it a try. Everybody rocks. We rock and roll, move and groove together. I like the title, been calling for general national strike without street protesting all along. I appreciate working, and I think it's great to have economic productivity, even though there's like a leech tax infrastructure that leeches off of everyone and funds oppression and stuff. I think if we don't work, if we strike, if people strike, then there's just going to be more dependence on the welfare state and unemployment and stuff. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate all the participation, and yeah, so again, join us at freedomcells.org. What does those freedom cells mean to a resource-based economy? What do y'all believe in? I'm not a fan of the whole resource-based economy thing. I'm a free market guy, and I am a fan of entrepreneurship. I don't have a problem with private ownership of capital and people making a profit from their work and ingenuity. I also don't have a problem with an employee-employer relationship. I believe that a lot of the problems we find in society come from the presence of a coercive, hierarchical, centralized, top-down institution that's known as the state or government, governments to rule over. And I think the resource-based economy movement and the whole Jacques Fresco thing and what was that documentary that everyone loved so much? It was a great documentary, but I'm not a fan of the resource-based economy thing. But here's the beauty. We don't all have to have the same philosophy per se in order to participate in the Freedom Cell Network. And what, like I was talking about earlier, how you have the United States of America and one way of doing things is flip it upon everyone else. And even the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, it's much the same, you know, it's two heads of the same beast. So you can have anarcho-syndicalists, resource-based economy types, anarcho-capitalists, free market guys, entrepreneur guys, right? And as long as we don't try to enforce our views and force our views on everyone else, we can still exist in harmony and maybe trade amongst ourselves or be friends or whatever, or form a confederation to defend ourselves from external threats, right? So that's my thinking. I'm not a big fan of the resource-based economy approach personally, because I think it's lacking in economics. Okay. Zeitgeist is the name of the documentary. John Bush signing out. Join us tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central. You can follow the Zoom link in the show notes and register, and I think you get a reminder that it's taking place. We also have a Facebook event you could subscribe to. I invite you, if you're into Facebook, to join our Facebook group, Organizing Freedom Cells. If you're not into Facebook, and or if you're not into Facebook, join us on our encrypted Telegram chat group, Freedom Cell Network as well. And most importantly, join freedomcells.org, where we have our own social network, and we're slowly but surely adding features. You can now do events, you can create cells where you can have your own little forum and chat group. And there's a big map that's really important for people to link up. And tomorrow on the call, we're going to be spending a lot of time helping people, encouraging people, teaching people, inspiring people to form those groups of eight, the inner cadre, to link up with other groups of eight, to encourage the creation of other groups of eight, to form a middle cadre, and then to network all of those middle cadres into a meta cadre. And hopefully one day, sooner than later, this meta cadre spans across the entire globe, and we effectively have the social organization necessary and the strength in numbers necessary to where we can opt out of those institutions that we find are no longer serving us, that we find to be unethical, that we find not to be in line with human flourishing, not to be in line with our values, and we can effectively put up a defense, put up a wall, and support one another. It can be a physical wall if we have intentional communities. It doesn't have to be a physical wall. We can be spaced all across the globe, but the idea is the way that things are going right now isn't working. Voting's not the answer. Let's do something about it. Let's get out and build the free society that we all deserve. John Bush, peace and freedom. I'm out. Thanks for tuning in.